This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commissioner Pete Meitzner. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Steve, thank you, and glad to have you.
Since January, you've been representing District 1. What is that? what's the geographic area?
Oh, the boundaries basically are from Kellogg north to the county line and Oliver, everything east to the county line, and then it kind of matriculates down Douglas. Okay. And in the county government, they wanted each of the five districts to have a piece of the central corridor.
Okay.
So there's a sliver that goes along Douglas and just to south.
I'd like to get a little background on our guests here. So I'll ask you a couple of questions about that. Did you grow up in Wichita? Is that what I understand?
Yes. Born and raised. We were born a family of seven south of Pawnee, about Pawnee and Hydraulic area.
Hmm. And what were your interests and activities in school then? What did you like to do?
Well,
show up.
In high school, it was just the high school days. I went to, we were still an all-boys school at Capon.
Oh, you were at Capon, okay.
Yeah. And then we merged with the girls, so that was my first experience of a merger. And then Wichita State, and then got into business from there.
Yeah, tell me about your work in the banking industry.
Boulevard Bank was alive, and Bob McGrath was the president, and he was friends with Dad, and so we just started a part-time job there at the bank during school, worked my way through, and then ended up having about a 12-year career at Boulevard Bank before it took off into the famous entrepreneurial world.
Where was Boulevard Bank?
It was at George Washington Boulevard and Lincoln there.
Lincoln,
across from the old Sears building that's now the Cox building.
I think that's where I had my first savings account when I was about 5 or 6 years old.
It was a great neighborhood bank, a great city, a small city bank.
I'd have done Spruce right over there around the corner.
Oh, he did?
For several years. Oh, anyway.
Right.
Tell me about your telecom company. I didn't know about this. What's your telecom? What was you doing there?
Well, it was funny. It was right after AT&T had broken up in the mid-80s. Back then, there was one phone company. It was AT&T and the regional Bell companies, meaning Southwestern Bell. And the big breakup happened, and a friend of mine and a couple of local here, I would say investors, but mainly a couple of local mentors.
Okay.
So we got into the coin phone business, and really, we were in Phoenix at the time, and just took off fantastically there. And then from there, the phones, we grew into some data management and security stuff, and had some things in the corrections and the law enforcement world.
Okay.
And then soon after, within about 8 years, we ended up going public on NASDAQ and publicly traded. So it was really a fun run. People like Dan Carney and Dan Taylor here in town were on our board that helped us navigate through the through the things of a publicly traded company. So
sounds like you're a lot smarter than what I thought you were.
Well, it was fun. It was fun growing, and as Dan said with the Pizza Hut world, it was a lot of fun growing Pizza Hut, and then you get to be a big company, and it changed, and it truly changed with us too.
Yeah.
We never got as big as Pizza Hut, but you don't
care because you wound up fabulously wealthy, and
not really. If the stock would have been $2 or $3 more a share, maybe.
Maybe, but, yeah. So why did you decide to get into to local politics, Pete?
Well, I think it was when we were always back and forth in Wichita, kept our house here and our Shocker basketball tickets over for years and years. And then so when we sold in 2004, we permanently were here back residence, my wife and I, and just gotten started helping church and some social things and ended up being the chair of the Lord's Diner. And we did some things where we started expanding that, and then and I just had a couple of business people approach me and say in 2010, hey, we need some there was a desire to have some business acumen downtown at the council level. And so not ever being in politics, but we're all politicians because we stand around in the kitchen and talk about it. So we all know about politics. But so I stepped up and we won. And then so 2011 took office in city council and developed a great relationship with Bob Layton. It kind of did bring some business acumen to the capital improvement plan and the debt and some things like that. So I think we helped.
I want to talk about that, backtrack to that in a minute. But first I want to talk about a story last week from about the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission and solar energy and wind power. Mm-hmm. And apparently they are wanting to recommend that you have no wind turbines in Sedgwick County. Where is the county on that? Aren't you looking at a policy for that?
Right, right. It'll eventually come to us. So this was more about wind farms, not a specific like what Wink has up there at his place. It was building a big wind farm like you see if you're driving down to Oklahoma or on East 400. There's really, from my perspective, in Sedgwick County, there's only a few areas and very limited acres that could have a wind farm because we have so much aviation. There's an FAA requirements that require. And so if any of these smaller communities, especially in western Sedgwick County, want to, have their own airstrip or something, it would be prohibitive. And so it's very limited, and we're more of an urban, a population county. As somebody told me, there's 105 counties in the state, and three of them are not looking for, you got Johnson and Sedgwick. We have a lot of stuff going on, and so there's a lot of wind that in Kansas. So it probably doesn't make sense to me that we would make an exception, and very limited. I think it was only a couple of select acreage in Sedgwick County.
Okay, now what about solar power?
I think solar is very much on the plate to do. I know there's people that you can do solar panels on your own homes, and I think one of the schools, Mays or somebody's done one. So I think solar it's not as intrusive. You put them on rooftops. You can put them now. A solar farm would be a lot of acreage, and have to be linked to the grid, so to speak. So, yeah. But that's the market if they wanted to do something like that.
Now, for 7 years, you represented District 2, as you were talking about the Wichita City Council. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say you're probably going to say that was a good experience overall.
Yeah, it was pretty rewarding. Best thing was I felt like, never changed my phone number, and I slept at night, and so it was okay. I think we turned the corner. Debt was on a upward scale when I got in. We kind of pushed some projects back and maybe eliminated or revised some projects and saved some debt money and then pushed some things. I mean, the airport was always talked about, never done. We did it. East Kellogg hadn't been worked on since whatever it was, 1992 or whatever. We worked on it, and now it's going to happen. So we've done some things. So
what about why did you decide then to run for county commission?
Well, mainly a good friend of Susie and I is Dave and Karen Unruh, and Dave and I have been friends for a long time, and he approached me and said that he was done, that he was 16 years of service was all he was going to do, which is admirable, and I tend to agree with that. We had term limits at the city council. It's funny, we tease that nobody else has term limits except the President of the United States and the Governor of Kansas and Wichita City Council, but so it's a good crowd to be in, I guess. But so anyway, I would have been in my last year at the city council, and so after talking to a few people and stepping in to fill Dave's seat at the county commission is what we decided to do.
There's been a lot of controversy surrounding the FBI and a former county manager. Has all that been resolved?
Yeah, that was not
old stuff.
It wasn't real enjoyable to come in, get elected in November, and commissioner is still, you know, wondering where his legal problems were, and we didn't have the manager was in a state of flux, but all that's worked out now. We've got Tom Stoltz as a county manager, very good manager, and he gets along well with Bob Layton across the street. I think there's a more cohesive cooperation of what roles both governments play in delivering services, and so.
All of us just coming down. There was the word transparency kept coming up. What exactly does transparency, government transparency, what does that mean to you, Pete?
Well, I think it does mean that if you have to have a meeting that's somewhat confidential, mainly in economic development, let's say, at least be more communicative to the public instead of the appearance of, hey, you're meeting and nobody knows what's going on. Now there's the clear transparency is the Open Records Acts and all the things that are available. There's only a rare occasion when you have to have an element of confidentiality for legal reasons or whatever. But even then, you need to be letting the public know that hey, we're working on some stuff or whatever you want to say, whatever the message is. I think more communication is better.
The days are gone, and maybe you don't remember or have never experienced the days when we had seven or eight reporters covering the county, and they might pull you aside and say, hey, what happened there? And you say, well, okay, don't quote me, but here's what happened. You know,
right.
That's the old relationship that the media used to, but we don't have people who cover county like that anymore.
Right.
Or
city
or anywhere else.
Yeah, the physical presence of a person at the events. There's still a little bit of maybe one person here or there will be, but right, you can see so much on the internet now and watch on whatever.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commissioner Pete Meitzner. So, Pete, what are the biggest issues facing Sedgwick County government right now?
Well, what I've learned is that, you know, the county government's never really in the news, so to speak. The past news is different than what the county government does as a function. But they do a lot of – they really are involved in a lot of social services, the ComCare, this mental health, help fund the court systems. So there's a lot of social services that filter down federal funds, state funds, and just learned that talking to Sheriff Jeff Easter and District Attorney Mark Bennett, I mean, they've really been at the forefront. So I've kind of championed with them. They think we have a real problem with mental instability, be it drug abuse, be it, you know, just you need to be on your meds. And it really bottles down the court system, and it really bottles down the jail system when maybe they shouldn't be in court or in jail. They should be getting – people should be getting help. I think it helped that I've been – I'm still on the Lord's Diner board. We've seen 10 years ago it was – the downtown office was truly hungry people. We still do the food trucks to the hungry and families down in Plano and over at facility at Hilltop, But the one downtown has changed. The last 10 years, Jan Haberly there has told us that it's we have a lot of mentally disturbed and family crisis and people coming in with their small young children, and it can be a burden on the whole society and our whole city and region. So we're kind of focusing on that a lot as a single item that we think we can help elevate and resolve.
Yeah, that was my next question, but you hit it before I got to it, and that is Jeff Easter. and talking about these mental health issues. I've had him on here talking about it. And he's talking. He's looking to try to get the state to come in and do some sort of a new mental health facility in the county.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that might be the solution. And it's not. We're not talking about a huge one. I think Jeff's talked about. You know, I rely on others that know better than I do. But when he's saying 50 or 60 beds up to 100 type facility, there is some transit. You know, the thing that's a problem is if somebody comes in and has a real drug problem or a mental problem, say, I need help right now. We, the public services that are available, say, well, we can get you help and, you know, we can come back and give you a bed in 6 to 8 weeks. Well, they need help then.
Yeah.
Now, you can go, if you're going to pay for it or if your family can help pay for it, you can go to these other private institutions. But if you can't pay for it, so that's really where the gap is. So that's 6, 8 weeks. The person wanted help on Tuesday and they can't get it till the next month. That's what happens in that gap. And that's when maybe crime or just that it's just a bad deal.
Well, yeah, you see a lot of bad things could happen in a week or 10 days or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever.
Yeah, Jeff's talked about and Easter's talked about. Brings in a guy that they know and he's a little, and they put him on his what they already know what his medication should be, and in a matter of, you know, he gets kind of cleaned up for 3 or 4 days and on the right stuff and becomes a model inmate of just a regular person in the facility. Then he gets out, and if he doesn't have somewhere to go or something to support him, then he gets back in that spiral. Mm. And it's bad for their jobs, it's bad for their family if they have any family. Yeah, it's a death spiral.
There's still citizens, the people listening right now. Oh, who cares about those people? You know,
well, that's a good point.
They pick themselves up and go and do what I did. But you know what? Those sheriff's officers and those people are facing those folks out there every day. Mm-hmm. They're dangerous. Sometimes
we're putting together. I'm on a committee. We're putting together a crisis team that's going to have EMS, sheriff, police, Wichita Police, sheriff, EMS. A social service, fire, both Sedgwick County and Wichita Fire, maybe a triage. You're doing it in Colorado Springs. You send, there's a crisis comes in, 911's involved, and it looks like there's maybe a problem at a place. We send a team of a law enforcement, a case manager, and an EMS. Those three go out and look, and they assess and go, okay, it's really a bad guy. We need to arrest him, put the handcuffs on. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it needs social support. They are social people here, or medical, the EMS person there. So they do and it works pretty good, and it cuts down a lot. And so you don't put them right to jail just because of the 911 call. You look at it and assess it and see what happens. So we're hoping to roll that out here really in the next few months.
And you're looking at currently, you know, if you're a police officer out there and you're faced with a situation like this, you didn't know what the hell's going on.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That's beyond their scope, usually, although I imagine they're being trained in it pretty extensively.
Yeah, no, right they're now. Getting a lot of training.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I agree with you, Steve, your earlier comment. There's some people, and when you first asked the question, it was eye-opening to me because I'm not, unless you have a family member or something that's got mental problems, if you're not around it, you make some broad assumptions. And to see the impact it's having on our community and on you know, Cargill's in downtown now and things like that. We need to be supportive of all the things that people get in jobs and whatever.
So. Share your thoughts on the county's relations with the Kansas legislature and state government. Do they know we exist?
Gosh, Steve, I've got relationships with a number of the electeds that go to Topeka. Sometimes there's a mood that says, you know what, that's a local and a county and a city issue. You guys solve it. Well, like Jeff Feach says, well, when you close down mental facilities, mental hospitals, and all of a sudden, I think Jeff will quote that we're the second or we're the largest mental health facility, the Sedgwick County Jail. 50% of his people are in mental health.
Wow.
So those things could be, the state could be more active in helping a broader vision about how do we lift the tide with that.
Oh, it's also a study a while back that Sedgwick County has more people who are on probation and on work release and, you know, than any other county. Johnson County doesn't take them.
The Department of Corrections, when somebody's released after serving their time or they're eligible for parole or work release, there's a facility here in Sedgwick County in Wichita, and that's where they all come. So it's if that's the, and that's where we're trying to work with the state on this, and we don't mind helping the state in whole. I mean, we do make a lot of things, and we bring in a lot of new dollars with our manufacturing stuff. But
spring storms brought some big flooding headaches to Kansas communities. How did we do here in Sedgwick County?
Oh, you know what? Thanks to Mitch Mitchell and the big ditch that was – I mean, it's clearly – say, you know, this federal money that was just awarded for EPA for relief, for disaster relief, you have to have so much dollars in damage before you can get it. Well, like Reno County, Hutchinson got a little bit, and some other counties got some. We didn't get any because we did not have – we did not have the flooding issues, although some people think we did, but we weren't like Tulsa. Boy, Tulsa was – it came up over the banks, and there's a casino down there on the Ark River that, I mean, it was in their first floor, and so.
There must be something about the way Wichita is in Sedgwick County, the flatness or something that made that spill or the flood control canal really make sense, because it doesn't seem like other communities do that.
Now,
Tulsa might be too hilly or something.
Right. You know, in the southern part of the county, there was some sporadic really flood. It's really stormwater runoff that caused some problems with some homes and a little bit north and south. So we had some problems, but we continue to work on it and continue to improve those isolated areas.
Well, I'll tell you what, those guys back in the 50s, like you say, Mitch, whoa, those guys were planning ahead. They'd seen all those floods. They'd seen the city flood like every year.
Yeah. I just admiration for them.
Yeah,
for sure.
What are the biggest issues now within your district over on the east northeast side? What are the biggest? Is there something other than what you've talked about? It's a big issue.
Well, I think as a county, it's more the bigger issues, Steve. It's really supporting the whole region. In general.
How about the county working on the next budget? Any surprises there, you think?
You know, it's it's so funny. When I got in 2011 at the city, we had this, like I said, this debt chart that was growing up, and people were struggling with the balancing budget, but we balanced it. And then the county was always really, really healthy, but all of a sudden, get to the county, and this year we're churning through the budget, and there's about $1 million worth of annual expenses and wants and wishes versus what we have, and so there's a little bit. But we'll get there. But it's funny. I was telling David Dennis. I said, "Wow, this is what happened when I hit the city and now come to the county, which I thought was doing well, which it is in overall." But.
You know, one of the things that we do need to mention, I think, that I've been hearing is a problem, and that is finding not only qualified people to be jailers and officers and so forth, but just finding qualified people for all the jobs that are seemingly opening up here in Wichita and Sedgwick County.
Yeah.
We got to find some people to come in here and go to work. How are we going to do that,
right.
I wonder?
Well, I credit one targeted area is Sherry Utash up there at WSU Tech. I get to serve on that board, have for a number of years, and to see when the business that's a business driven need. I need welders now, and we go find them or advertise. She does a great job she's got a great staff with youth connectivity through the internet, through social media, and we're getting a lot of people in their mid-20s that were tired of their mundane job that might be in the restaurant business or something, and they come in and get a certificate and get to work right away. So we're trying to do this regionally. We're reaching out and attracting, and I think we just need to keep telling the rest of the region in these competing cities that, hey, we've got jobs and we're ready to hire.
What's the best thing about the job of being a county commissioner? You can't think of anything. Okay, what's the worst then? No.
It's just being available
Let me give you another one. You guys bring in the business acumen. Yeah. We always hear that. Business.
Yep.
Did you really bring anything?
Well, I think so. That's probably my most rewarding is knowing that I can that I've got the experience. Sometimes even at the council level, this is nothing against my fellow electeds on any level. But to have the experience of being on the forefront, like I said, of a publicly traded company where you're working on intellectual property, you're in lawsuits, you're mergers and acquisitions, and you're making decisions on your capital investment, on and what's your customer saying, what do they need. You get sued, you've been deposed. If you've ever been deposed, that's not fun. But if you're deposed in a business, at least you've gone through it where you're swearing in and things like that. So I bring that. It's only experience. And if you don't have that, I have an advantage a little bit.
So. Well, listen, hey, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate that. Our guest, Sedgwick County Commissioner Pete Meitzner. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.